It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it. Tuesdays here. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Hope you're doing all right. We'll get the shout-outs going in the StreamYard. You can find us and watch us, as always, on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. Tell a friend. Also, give us a follow. You can watch the show on the Hail Varsity Radio Twitter feed, at HVarsity Radio. What's going on in the portal today? Is there a settlement looming between some of the two power players in college football with the SEC and Big Ten? It's a big night for baseball with Nebraska and Creighton, K-State looming tomorrow. So Coach Bolton company want to shake those midweek woes. We'll talk about that with Michael Bruntz from Husker 24/7. In hour two, we'll sit down with Matt Verzel, with the former Husker and host a Husker Hangover. Burr's going to be with us in hour two. Mitch Sherman in about 15 minutes from The Athletic. You can join us at 489-1240, 489-1240 to get in. We're still working on the 800 number, 1-800-825-5865 for future reference, but can reach out to us via social media. The Hail Varsity Radio Twitter feed. You can find Elijah at Herbal Essence, at Schmidt underscore radio for me, and jump in the stream on YouTube. Get your comments read that way. Chris at HailVarsity.com from an email standpoint. So we'll see what happens portal-wise today. Chief Borders in the portal yesterday. We shared some thoughts on that. You do have, and this is from On Three, Michigan linebacker Hayden Moore has entered the transfer portal, class of 23 for Michigan. Michigan's got a pretty talented and loaded linebacker room. You do have Moore, that was a guy that was with Nebraska in 22 as a commit, but flipped to Michigan before signing day in 2023. So that might be a name to watch. And you have social media reacting to Malachi Coleman's tweet out there. And you can read it verbatim, Elijah, and Malachi's Twitter handle and his posting is you know, well, something to the effect of new beginnings.
Yeah, I have it pulled up here in front of me. Directly, it's just a quick picture. Appears to be font from a book. It just says, trust in new beginnings.
Okay.
No other context.
And listen. Malachi wears number 15. Dylan Raiola wore number 15. That's my read on the new beginnings. Okay? I don't think Malachi Coleman, I know he didn't have a spring, he was coming back, but he is beefed up. He's a guy that they have talked a lot about. He's a guy that performed when given a chance to get on the field last year, and he is in this offense's plans. Despite the depth and talent at wide receiver, he's a guy that's really skilled. He's a hometown product, and he'll put the work in, I believe. I don't think, now we'll burn this tape if I'm wrong, but just talking to a couple of folks, I don't think it's anything to read into other than he's probably switching numbers. That's a new beginning. Number 15 has been his number in Lincoln, and it may not be his number in Lincoln any longer if Dylan Raiola wants to wear number 15. So I'm sure those guys have worked things out number-wise. I would presume that, and away we go. Is that too too drama-free for a Tuesday?
I think it is too drama-free for a Tuesday.
Okay. So drama me up.
Well, if I'm dramaing you up, this is a guy that is going and telling the coaches, and this is not by any means what is happening. I'm just playing the devil's advocate here and going the other side, what this could mean in the era that we're in right now, especially with the transfer portal slamming shut here, the window slamming shut here shortly. Could be a guy hopping on Twitter and saying, hey, coaches of America, I am open for business. I'm not entering the transfer portal, but if you have an enticing offer for me,
I can
trust in some new beginnings. That's the other side of how you read into this. And I don't know. You also have to think about it. I look at it, a kid understands what era of college football we're in, and putting that out there with no context really leaves yourself some wiggle room, I think, intentionally.
Sure.
Regardless of what it means.
I'm switching numbers. On the other side, I'm open for business.
Yes.
Right?
It leaves yourself some outs.
Uh-huh.
Now, I think that could be intentional. I don't want to read into it too deeply what a 19-year-old kid is posting on Twitter. Like, I'm not going to read too deeply into that. Being somebody of this era, social media and Twitter is not the be-all, end-all of life. Sometimes you just put things out there and see how many people want to like it. But on the other side of things, this feels kind of intentionally ambiguous to me. And I might leave my reaction at that.
Intentionally ambiguous.
Huh? Yes.
Okay.
Like, hey, regardless if he's leaving or not, what are we doing today? We're talking about him.
Sure. And that's probably okay with him.
Yep.
There is discussion.
That is my take.
Uh-huh. Hey, that's well thought out. See what's there. Now, I'll say this. Guys is fast and as talented as you have in the room. That said, we're 24 hours removed from watching, or 48 hours plus removed from watching 13 different guys catch footballs from Dylan Raiola. Nebraska's got some options at wide receiver, but it would sting. It would sting just because it's not that often you have a homegrown product with that talent that had kind of the recruiting buzz around him. Not a stick and stay in Lincoln. That's been a problem to keep in-state guys with previous staffs. You're excited, you know, for the next wave of in-state. Nebraska's really harping on that. In Lincoln, locally, Jackson Carpenter, you're excited about that. Out of Omaha, of course, you've seen Jalen Lloyd do some work as a fellow Lincoln freshman, or I should say Omaha freshman, that got in and performed well. And you look at the jump he made. The thing is, though, is he was healthy to make that jump. You need a off-season of health from Coleman. Get that shoulder healed up, and go work with your quarterbacks. Go work with your quarterbacks, get some great chemistry going there, and then just grind away, dude, when it comes to fall camp before that first kickoff against UTEP. 489-1240, numbers to get in.
I think we've said about all we can. I mean,
no, but that's kind of the lay of the land right now.
Yeah. Is there much more to say? It's aside from, we'll know by Thursday.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's when the dreaded portal closes. Brandon is in first. Appreciate you. He says, how you guys doing today? Hit that like button. Cliff, good to hear from you. Cliff is here. He says, gun running ain't easy.
Huh.
Bane Shady is in. Good to have you, Baines. Brennan here. Dilly Dilly says, Brennan from the Black Hills. Tim is here. You have... NASCAR Eric checks in. Tuck is here. The other Elijah is in. So good to have Elijah in. KG is here. Good to hear from KG. Patrick and Jeff and Mr. Brian Snitley, part of the Boulder Peace Treaty, asked the question, can Nebraska stop the midweek woes, or will Creighton sweep the season series? Well, we'll find out at 6 tonight. Shane is here. Tiger Shark Diver checks in. Negative Mike. and Negative Mike is asking about the Coleman tweet.
It's on brand for Negative Mike.
That's fine. That's
it's
good.
It's right in the name.
So you're not, you as a social media strategist, Elijah, would you have advised or authorized this tweet?
No.
No?
Of course not. Because the
as a social media strategist, your job is to do what for your client?
We'll get some buzz, I guess. You're getting the name out there. There's no such thing as bad publicity, but like, it's really obvious.
But at least after at the end of the quote, there wasn't a "I ain't hard to find."
Like it's obviously there is one way that that tweet is going to be interpreted.
You're exhausted.
At face
You're
value.
Annoyed by it. I'm sorry to go there to start out, but it is portal season.
It's just like, hey man, either you're in or you're out. Don't be hanging Husker fans by a thread. And you should know by posting that what the natural reaction is going to be. It's left intentionally ambiguous. Oh, okay, man. Either you're in or you're out to the portal or Nebraska, however you want to look at it. Either you're in or out. You don't need to lead Husker fans on and then come back and say a week later, oh, it was never about entering the portal.
About my number.
It's about your number.
New Jersey number.
If you wanted that to be clear, you would have given a little more context.
The New Jersey number?
You know what I would have put? The new number in the tweet? Or maybe the number 15? Something along those lines. It's left intentionally ambiguous.
But maybe he's still, you know, shopping for that new number.
So you can put the 15 with a little waving emoji or something? Like
you could clean it up?
You could clean up. You could add more context if you wanted to. It was intentionally left with no context, and that frustrates me because, hey, man, you want people talking about you. I get it. Don't hang Husker fans by it.
And your preference is to talk about more 50-yard touchdown receptions,
yes,
on on-field performance or outreach in the community. He's been great about doing that from the early stages of his football life.
Matt Rhule's made it clear either you want to be here or you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want to be here or do you not? That's my question right now. Do you want to be here or do you not?
Mm-hmm.
If you know, announce it.
We don't need to keep announcing it. Just be here and put the work in.
Yeah, that's okay.
So this is interesting. So Zach Bryan show last night, Rhule got on stage. His coaches, a lot of the coaches went up to the show, second show tonight. Junior has made the way up, and he slid this one past, I don't want to say slid this past us, but he's going up with his buddy, and I'm a little nervous. This is Junior's first, like, solo road trip. He's driven on road trips before, but it's been with mom and dad or some older adults. He's going up to the concert. He bought himself a pair of jeans. If I've said this, forgive me, but the kid has worn nothing but shorts and joggers his whole life. So he went and got a pair of jeans, and they're good-looking jeans. They're not Wranglers, so he hasn't gone full cowboy.
But full Brett Favre?
No, but he is wearing a white top, and it's not collared. It's more that mesh.
Wife beater type?
No.
Right. That's the colloquial term. I think we all know what I mean.
Right. Yes. But it's not.
He's not wearing the tank top?
It's not the Cousin Eddie. No. Okay.
Jeans and tank top could have been a look.
Well, and the way he spends time in the weight room and probably sharing a needle with somebody, he could pull it off. Yes, steroid indication, Junior, pee in a cup. But he's wearing jeans, but he's borrowing his buddy's dad's cowboy boots. And I'm like, dude, if you're going to go pose at a country concert, don't mess around with any genuine full article cowboys that are there for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just mind your P's and Q's, dude. You want to show up looking country, fine. And what I mean by looking country, the rural, right? Like he just stepped out of Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that the good folks of rural America are out working every day on their land, okay?
What you're saying is Junior is wearing a pair of genuine ostrich boots?
And he didn't go buy them. He's going to borrow them because he's a cheap puke like his father. So he's wearing they're not cowboy jeans. They're I think American Eagle jeans. He had a pair of white shoes that looked really like dad grill shoes.
Mm.
It's like, dude, you're not wearing those, are you? Mr. Fashion here. So he's borrowing cowboy boots. He's probably going to put a fake mustache on, and he'll look like Josh Brolin out of No Country for Old Men. That's what he'll end up showing up to the show like.
Did he have a cowboy hat?
No, but I'm sure he'll try and borrow one. He had a cowboy hat when he was 4. But no longer.
Yeah, no, I see, in efforts of not, anytime I go to a country concert or show of any sort, I'm going to look like me.
Right,
I'm not
going to
go
show
as the poser.
And, right. You just show and go.
My roommate goes as country as possible, and I'm like, I know what I am. He grew up in Sutton, though, so he has a little bit more background. I don't. I grew up in Lincoln, never owned a pair of cowboy boots. Compared to the real cowboys of the state, I've never done a hard day's work.
Right.
Like
me neither. I've watched my cousin on his ranch. I got in the way. He didn't want my help. So
I mow my lawn and I think I deserve a beer. Like. Right.
Yeah. And you're going to go with one of those IPA deals or, of course, Cornhead Lager.
I was going to say the Cornhead Lager in the shower after the mowing the lawn. The shower beer is the best kind of beer.
I've never, ever had a shower beer.
We've had this conversation before, and I'm surprised I couldn't convince you.
Well, I'll have to try it. Shane says it's sunny in Cali. Good for you. There's tornado watch in effect, at least in part of our listening area. So keep that in mind. Any brutal weather happens, we'll have updates for you. But email in from Brett at chris@halevarsity.com. Is Malachi Coleman in the transfer portal? Not that we're aware of.
He has neither confirmed nor denied.
He just is about new beginnings. We'll see where that's at. We'll have a chance to tell you how to help out those that have been affected by the tornadoes on Friday. We'll tell you that in a moment. Mitch Sherman coming up. It's Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for hanging out. Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Hope you're well on a Tuesday, 489-1240. Reminder, if you want to help out friends in need here, be sure to get to the Hernat Sports Bar and Grill, La Vista location. They're holding disaster relief drive all week long till 7 o'clock, starting at 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. They're going to collect hygiene items, clothing, and non-perishable foods to be donated to Heartland Hope and Project Intentional for distribution to those in need affected by the tornadoes. Can also donate $10 to the American Red Cross when you text Red Cross in all caps to 90999. We welcome in Mitch Sherman with us from The Athletic at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, thanks for the time. How are you?
I am well. How are you guys?
We're hanging in, man. We're doing okay. Everybody good up your neck of the woods, bud?
Yep, things are all right out here. Making it through the week and heading out to a baseball game right now, so no complaints.
Well, good. Thanks for giving us a few minutes, and let's talk spring game, Mitch, and some of your observations, some of your thoughts with what Nebraska showed on Saturday. And you've got quite a bit of heightened anticipation with the Nebraska fan base. That's to be expected with the level of play you got from that quarterback room, and Dylan Raiola didn't disappoint.
Yeah, you think? Did you notice that too? I kind of got that sense, Schmitty. Yeah, there was a lot of anticipation and excitement after the game, during the game. You know, I think Nebraska did a good job through the spring, really through the whole offseason leading up to the spring, after Raiola's commitment and the big news that made when he signed and flipped from Georgia. But it had been relatively quiet. You know, we heard from him, and of course we heard from Matt Rhule about him in the spring, but nothing that was what I would call out of hand or just wild expectations. And then, you know, Saturday kind of changed that whole dynamic, because he wasn't just, I think, as advertised in the spring game. He was even better than advertised. And I don't know that they necessarily intended to give any of the quarterbacks quite the long look that Raiola got, but you saw 31 plays. You know, he led five drives. All five drives were well put together. You know, one ended in an interception in the red zone. Another ended with a missed field goal, and I thought he managed the end of that drive very well, not trying to take too much. And then, of course, the other three were all touchdowns. So you come out of that, and now the big thing for Nebraska is just managing expectations through the next 4 months. And I wrote about that today on The Athletic, and it's you know, it's going to be a challenge because people are going to want to anoint him, and you know, that's not the direction that Nebraska wants to take this, certainly at least until August.
Mitch, whenever you look at the workload that Dylan has, you said 31 plays, 22 passing attempts. Is that a sign for the future of what the offense could be? Is that the show aspect of the spring game, wanting to give the fans what they want to see? What's your reaction to the run-pass split, particularly when Dylan was on the field?
Well, I don't think they're going to throw it two-thirds of the time necessarily in the fall. I mean, if they're behind in the fourth quarter, yeah. But, you know, I think they'll want to be a team that features the run game more than what we saw on Saturday at Memorial Stadium. But the spring game wasn't really about that. We heard Rhule leading up to the game talk about how he thought it would be a shootout. You know, he wanted it to be a shootout. He would rename it the Red-White Shootout if he could. So they had every intention of wanting to feature their pass game, not just on Saturday, but throughout the spring, and that's what we saw. When they get into training camp, when they start playing games at the end of August, it's going to be more of a 50-50 split. You know, of course, you're going to want to do what the team does best, but I think ideally they want to be a team that can run it just as well as they can pass it. And you know, I think they have the personnel to at least make an attempt at that. They're strong now at wide receiver. They've got people at running back who should be able to get it done. And this could, if it sets up as they've designed it, it should be a balanced offensive attack.
Mitch, I want to go back to the expectations part of things. How do you anticipate the staff to keep things from getting too crazy with the hope and the dreams of a breakthrough year? That's what everybody wants in the stadium, yeah. And you know, of course, the fan base. But how do they keep things tempered?
Well, I think Rhule is fine with people being excited about the season. He's fine with people having expectations that this is a year where Nebraska can win 8 games and, you know, get to bowl eligibility before it goes to Ohio State at the end of October. High expectations for the team are something that they'll embrace. What they want to manage are the expectations in particular for a true freshman quarterback. So there's not a lot they can do. Certainly, Dylan's not going to be out there doing talk shows and national podcasts and sit-downs with the media between now and August. I doubt we'll really hear from him. We're not going to hear from him at Big Ten Media Days. That's not Nebraska's MO to take a freshman to Big Ten Media Days, even though he's the guy that certainly everyone is going to want to talk about nationally and within the Big Ten on the Nebraska roster. They'll have to ask some older players who get the nod from Nebraska about the freshman quarterback. Otherwise, you know, I think it'll be more of the same from what we've seen in the spring out of the head coach. When he does do things where he puts himself out in public, you know, if he's speaking to groups or doing interviews, which are fairly few and far between this time of year, he's going to say the same kind of stuff about how all of them are competing. And, you know, you'll hear the analogies that like what he made with Eric Crouch in 1998. Rhule mentioned that after the scrimmage on Saturday that he had a meal with Crouch, and Crouch told him all about 98 when they had 3 quarterbacks and took all 3 of those guys to win. You know, you'll hear the analogy about Charlie Brewer at Baylor, the freshman star quarterback for the Bears in Rhule's first season of 2017, and how he had to just continue to fight for the job and earn the job all the way through the middle part of his sophomore season. So that's how he envisions it, and I legitimately think that's what Rhule wants to do. But if there comes a time at some point, whether it's early next season or the middle of next season, where there's just, you know, no denying that Raiola is hands down the guy that they have to get behind and hope that he can carry them, then, you know, I think they'll be ready to do that. But that's not anything that they want to talk about here in May, June, or July.
Mitch, speaking of tempering expectations, I guess keeping a fan base in check, any reaction to the reaction we've seen from Husker Nation, what Malachi Coleman put on Twitter a little earlier this afternoon?
We haven't heard anything else from Malachi beyond that, correct? I've been in the car for the last few minutes.
It's simply trust in new beginnings.
Right, yeah, I saw that. I think you know, we've seen a little bit of this before. You know, he went through some of this when he was being recruited, and I don't have any great reaction to it or analysis of it. I don't know what's going on there. I think Malachi is a guy who is coming off of an injury and has benefited being at Nebraska in this first year, and they have brought him along in a way that is best for him. It would be unfortunate, I think, for his own personal growth to see him leave that, but I don't really have any reason to believe that's what's going on. Today's the last day. Nebraska had no one go in the portal for the first 12, 13 days that it was open here this month. We saw Chief Borders enter on Monday. No news has leaked out yet today in these final hours. I would expect something's going to happen. Malachi Coleman was not someone who was on my radar to look at for something to happen, but now you have to have your eyes open because he's put a cryptic message out there. So maybe it's nothing. Maybe he's just looking to feel the love from Husker Nation. These are 19-year-old young athletes that we're dealing with. So who knows? But 24 hours from now, and just because we get to midnight tonight, I'll mention that. Just because we get to midnight tonight and there hasn't been news of player X, Y, or Z going into the portal, that doesn't mean that you're in the clear if you're Nebraska or anyone else. It's just the paperwork that's got to be filed by midnight, and sometimes it takes a few hours for that to get processed. And we've seen even in past cycles where it's taken news 12 to 24 hours to get out about a player in the portal. So if we're at this place tomorrow and, you know, all is clear and there's no big surprises for Nebraska in the transfer portal landscape, then that's good. But this stuff happens, and I'm not talking specifically about Malachi, but every team is going through this. Every team is worried right now about some kind of an 11th hour surprise and a player that it could lose who's valuable and in the plans for 2024. So it's just the world that we live in college football and all college sports today.
Mitch, about 90 seconds, Malachi's position group, the wide receiver room, pleasantly surprised, or did you think this could show up like it did Saturday, not just high-level athleticism, but lots of options at wide receiver, aside from Lloyd, who really looked good in this second season?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I was really impressed with Isaiah Nayor when he got the ball in his hands. He looked like a different kind of athlete. I mean, Jalen is a different kind of athlete in his just sprinter speed and ability to just blow the roof off of a defense. Nayor, because he's so big-bodied, and then you combine that with his stride, his just ability to eat up yardage and glide when he has the football, that's somebody who I think you can get the ball to 5-10 yards from the line of scrimmage, and the next thing you know, he's gained 40 yards or he's taken it all the way. So he's a weapon that even through Nebraska's the some of the production that Nebraska's got at the receiver position in the last 5 or 6 years, like I'm talking about Stanley Morgan and Samari Toure and Trey Palmer, you know, they all had their skill sets and they're all very good in the NFL for a reason. Nayor's, I think, a different kind of athlete. Not to say he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, but I think he could be if he was the featured guy, if he was the main guy. And then you throw in Jamal Banks, who Nebraska loved and thought enough of to just basically give the day off on Saturday. I mean, he's probably the wide receiver one with Nayor as two, and Jalen Lloyd is as one or two, you know, right alongside those guys. He's like 1A or 2A, and you know, we haven't even talked about Ja'Cory Barney, who looked fantastic as a true freshman in the spring game. So they do have a lot of options, and you know, I think they're probably going to be without Demetrius Bell for an extended period of time, which is really devastating for him and you know, difficult because of how much promise he showed. But that's a position where they can absorb an injury or two, and they should be okay.
Mitch, we'll check in again. Thanks, as always, for the time, bud.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
Hail Varsity Radio is live. Now, back to Schmitty.
Schmitty's a great guy, but he don't have a brain.
And Elijah.
You want me to speak?
We're not pointing you yet.
On Hail Varsity Radio.
So we'll keep our finger on that portal pulse. And Mitch is right on. Tomorrow evening, you should be reacting or in the clear. One of the two. With names in the portal for Nebraska, but nothing out yet. We'll keep you up to date on what's shaken, but the sources I've checked with that are close or have been close to Malachi Coleman don't believe that there's anything to worry about. Again, burn the tape if I'm wrong, but that's the word I'm getting from a couple of sources.
Well, all I know is if I was a member of the Nebraska football coaching staff, I would be making some calls to Malachi after he posts that to see what's in order. So something tells me that if there is a decision that is made, we will know, I would say, in probably relatively short order.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be my first. If I was Matt Rohl scrolling through Twitter and I saw that post, I'd be like, oh, let's get Malachi on the phone and see what's going on here. So something tells me this is not a saga that will drag on for a while if there is any saga to be had.
Braxton May. Or meh.
He may what?
Yeah.
Braxton May what?
Braxton.
That was a stupid joke.
Right. 7'1", 250 pounds. Washington Husky, now a Nebraska Cornhusker. Good on Fred and company. They got a rim protector. They got some size. They got a Power 5 guy that's moving on from a would-be new Big Ten program to Lincoln. So assuming you get things finished out on your roster and Nebraska's been active. And is it fair to say Nebraska's been selective, or do you want to go a step further and say they've just been a second or third choice again to some programs? We don't know where Nebraska finished, but they didn't end up the top spot for William Kyle. That was... of course, UCLA. You look at the Fiddler. He's off to Spartan land. And, of course, Chucky is off to Louisville. Those are three names, three targets that Nebraska had high interest in. You do get kid out of Utah that has put up some good numbers. That's nice. You've got Braxton coming in that is good. And you still got to round it out, and that means you could probably move Rink to a power forward spot instead of having to play center against some of the other giants in the Big Ten, assuming Rink is back. So that's good news for Nebraska. Does it get to be better news for the world of college football with some law and order? You have college sports leaders in deep talks to settle the NIL antitrust case with the NCAA. So you have the NCAA and its power conferences or defendants in an antitrust class action lawsuit, House versus the NCAA. This would give past athletes payment in damages and also set up a revenue sharing system with the current world of college football and athletes in the world of college athletics, which is what Trev Alberts has talked about down at A&M and talked about in Lincoln with that new expense category on the budget being about $20 million. This is a little bit of an excerpt from Paul Feinbaum and Pete Thamel with what is coming down the pike here if you do settle. And you put this thing to bed, you've got some antitrust protections, you'd have a salary cap, and you'd have a choice, if you can afford it, to jump in and stay at the adult table, or if you're a university that can afford it for your sports programs, you go to the kids' table, and that's why it's good to be in the SEC and in the Big Ten. Now, you got to sweet talk the chancellors and presidents here of the universities. And that's what your conference commissioners are doing. Because right now, your university is needing to raise money and raise money for the NIL. You get your TV revenue. And I know on the Husker Network, Nebraska and new AD Dannon talked about what Nebraska makes off of their seeding. They're just the sellout streak, the $40 million they bring in with the seat licenses. You couple that with Big Ten TV revenue, you're doing really well. And Nebraska had over $200 million in revenue last year.
Well, we know Nebraska's well set up for this because they give money to the academic side every single year,
yep.
Something that not many college athletics
can do. Self-supporting.
Yes.
Let's go to Pete Thamel here and the revenue sharing, what's around the bend.
Conference presidents, Paul, within the next month are going to have to decide whether they want to settle this case. It would be a multi-billion dollar settlement. And there's two ways to look at this settlement. There'd be a settlement backwards. There would be giant checks cut for past damages. The House case in particular deals with name, image, and likeness. And athletes are going to get back pay essentially for name, image, and likeness in the past. Then there's future. And this is where this really matters and could end up being the structure for what college sports looks like in the very near future. And that future would have some type of revenue sharing agreement. I was told it would be derived off a complicated formula that includes television revenue, that includes ticket sales, that includes et cetera. But the ballpark being given to campuses right now is a little more than $20 million per campus, essentially to revenue share with athletes. Now, there's still a bunch of unanswered questions, Paul. There are still objections from campuses that have to go. There are still commissioners that have to get in line and get all their presidents and campuses in line. This is not at the finish line, but it's way ahead of where it was last week. And there is a vision of what the finish could look like, which is a big deal for the future of college sports.
A little bit more from Thamel here on what that number would be settlement-wise.
Billions and billions, Paul. Dan Murphy and I wrote the story on ESPN.com yesterday. The number we used was more than $4 billion. I was cautioned by sources that that number is actually conservative. The NCAA's record in lawsuits, Paul, as you know, is similar to your and my record in the World's Strongest Man competition. It's not very good. So they would risk going to a jury, losing again, which has been the case time and time and time again as the NCAA has gone to court. And so what these presidents and leaders have to decide, and it's not an easy decision, is do we put less billions up front and out of it get both a structure for the future of college sports, and here's a key term that's being thrown around, is protections. Those are not set and settled and wouldn't be to the end, but does it say we are protected from future antitrust lawsuits, not all lawsuits, obviously, they can't have like a shield around them, but do we get a protection from future antitrust lawsuits for 10 years, for a long period of time that gives this chaotic world of college sports some sort of period of peace, which quite frankly, Paul, we haven't had the last two decades.
Same rules for those that can afford. And that's NIL, that is TV deals, that's being a program that is in a conference that has great access to the playoff. We'll have a final thought from Pete Thamel on this this lawsuit, the settlement that is going to be tried and be settled by the NCAA to move forward so they can get their ducks in a row and you'll have your creation. Remember to buckle up, use your seatbelt. It saves lives and prevents injuries only if properly worn. Make it click. A message from the NDOT Highway Safety Office. We'll wind down hour one with Hail Varsity next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, Michael Bruns, Husker 24-7, going to join us here in the 5 o'clock hour. Thoughts on Nebraska's new basketball get, Husker Baseball v. Creighton. And yes, the spring game, Matt Verzel, former Husker, host of Husker Hangover, going to be with us at 525, 489-1240 to get in. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com and 489-1240. The phone line is back and functional. More of your comments here in the stream. We'll get to some of those. Jonathan checks in via Facebook, and there's different platforms along with the Hail Varsity YouTube channel that you can watch the show. And Jonathan poses this with Malachi's cryptic tweet. Maybe Malachi's message is for someone else to come to Nebraska. All right.
There's an optimist view.
Yeah. You're really just over this.
It's just so pointless in my book.
Yeah?
Like, it's pretty clear, based on the reaction, whether or not he knew this was going to be the reaction, he should have known the reaction was going to be.
Well, it also...
he's going to the portal.
Like, what now?
I'm just saying, like, he should know that the reaction from Husker fans is going to be, oh, he's going to the portal.
So, well, this is the reaction he wants, the attention.
Yeah. So in that case, either announce it or don't. In the meantime, all right, thanks for leaving everyone in limbo.
Mm. Elijah, Tiger Shark Diver, Elijah's about to have a meltdown. You're annoyed. But, brother, yeah. This is the era, and hopefully this era of... Listen, if your coach leaves, you should be able to bounce as well. But the sooner kids understand, and this sounds old man screaming at the clouds in my lawn, get off my lawn, right? So I'm going to be old man for 2 seconds. The sooner you realize that, yeah, you're pretty gifted and you're talented and you put in some work, awesome. Doesn't mean anything other than you get another opportunity at the college level. And guess what? There's 85 guys on scholarship and others on NIL now that, all right, it's another form of scholarship. Are you good at competition? Do you embrace competition? Or do you have a work ethic that is second to none? Or can you develop one? And are you coachable? Or are you about drama and bullcrap and attention and the thought of being some five-star? Well, that five-star or four-star, or top player in your school, that stops at the door to the football facility.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner you get that, and it comes with maturity. I'm still a knucklehead. I got to do a lot of growing up. But 18 to 22, it's you get a little bit of fame, you factor in social media, and some handle it better than others. And right now, that's the area you're in. And you see guys, you just saw a five-star bolt in Chief.
Oh, Chief. Okay. Yeah, I'll see you've seen it in Buffland this year, too.
Right. And then you saw the other five-star, Collier. I mean, we're talking five-star dude, Florida. And I'm not knocking the kid. I'm just saying Florida, Nebraska, now Florida A&M. That's where you end up. Is that where you can go get a guaranteed starting spot?
I don't have a problem with guys leaving for the portal for whatever reason. There's just already enough drama with the portal. Why do we need to add more?
Sure, that's fair.
We don't need to have any more drama with the portal. Either you're in with Nebraska or you're out and you're going to the portal. Make your decision. Announce it on Twitter.
Ready to watch Nebraska-Creighton tonight. More thoughts on hoops and the spring game. It's Michael Bruntz with Husker 24/7 to kick off Hour 2.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you, Tower 2 at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel will get Michael Bruntz from Husker 24/7 on the horn here shortly. Reminder of what's going on all week with Herdat Sports Bar and Grill, the La Vista location. Reminder, if you want to help out, please do so when it comes to folks in the Bennington and Elkhorn region, folks hit by the tornadoes, and what's going on with Herdat Sports Bar and Grill at the La Vista location, disaster relief from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you're invited to collect hygiene items or clothing or non-perishable foods to be donated to the Heartland Hope and Project Intentional for distribution to those in need, and can just swing by the La Vista location at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill through 7 o'clock, and throughout the week to help those in need. We know Nebraskans are so great at helping one another out. Can also donate $10 to the American Red Cross. Can text Red Cross in all caps to 90999. If you want to donate some money, do it that way. So Vic chimes in, Vic out in Denver in the stream, says, Schmitty, you can't use CU players as examples of how the transfer portal works. I'm not. The program is a five-alarm dumpster fire. I'll buy you a fifth or I if they get bowl eligible this year. That is incredible, Vic. You want me to cheer for Colorado this season so I can get a fifth of rye from you? Well, I can cheer for the Buffs to get six wins in the Big 12. We'll see. Is that a fair investment to take on, Elijah? Cheering for Colorado to win six ball games this year so I can get a free fifth of rye from Vic?
It's different for you than for me because you had a longer period of time of your life in which Colorado was a true conference rival.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite the same for somebody like me.
I
would make that handshake deal under the table and
we put it out and
quietly root for Colorado, not publicly, but in the comfort of my own home, I would do that.
Now it's on record.
For you.
for
you. I'm pretty sure this deal was for you. Don't lump me in with this.
For the rye. For the love of rye. Cheer for Colorado, except that second week of September. We welcome in with Husker 24/7, a man of many talents, that is baseball, basketball, football with the Big Red. He also cheers for Oakland. It is Michael Brunts time at Michael Brunts on Twitter. Bruntsy, how we doing? Thanks for a few minutes.
Wow, I'm on hold, and I come to find out you're a big Shedeur Sanders guy. You think you know somebody, and look at you.
No, hold on. Listen.
Yeah, you can defend yourself.
I can defend myself here. I am not a fan. I'm not a fan of Shedeur hammering teammates on Twitter like he did today. And we'll see how much of a meth explosion this thing is in Boulder in year two.
Well, can I just say?
Rye whiskey, and free rye whiskey tastes better than about anything.
I just say, two things can be true. On one hand, I can be extremely tired and annoyed by the Shedeur Sanders antics and the antics of really the entire Sanders family, while also turning around and saying, I think based on what Shedeur Sanders puts on the field, he's a good quarterback. And I can respect that, and I can understand that, hey, Nebraska's got a task in front of them to still go beat a quarterback at the level of Shedeur Sanders, a guy that really performed well against Nebraska last year. Like, let's not discount what he's done on the field while also saying, you know what, that dude's antics get real old real fast.
He's a good quarterback till he pisses off his linemen and they let him go turnstile and continue to bury him.
He's just a me guy.
Totally. I mean, that he's allowed to be a me guy. Bruntsy, a lot to talk about here. Let's get into the spring session for the Big Red and your takeaways here from the spring game Saturday. What did you like? What surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you start offensively. You have to, you know, certainly appreciate the strides that they've made on that side of the ball. I mean, just think about where things were the last time we saw that outfit in November, where, you know, it was moving heaven and earth to try to get any kind of offense going. You know, there was a level of efficiency that was pretty impressive to me. Obviously, the quarterbacks kind of stole the show, but I mean, I was eager to kind of see if the chatter about the wide receivers that we've kind of been hearing here and there all spring was legit. And, I mean, that's an impressively deep group, and you didn't even have, you know, Malachi Coleman out there, who's up to, you know, 6'3", 220 right now because of the shoulder injury. So, you know, that was probably my main takeaway was, you know, you were kind of wondering what the weapons around these young quarterbacks were going to look like this season. And, you know, the picture looked pretty good. I know there's a grain of salt you kind of have to – you're obligated to mention because of who was missing on the defense and the fact that, I mean, basically, what, 6-7 starters didn't even really play. But, I don't know that last year's offense has that kind of day against even the second team defense. So I really like that. You know, special teams, a little bit of a concern. I think we probably need to see a little bit more of that, but I left the stadium on Saturday feeling, generally pretty positive about the way things were headed, and it's not often, during a following a spring game that I kind of have felt that way. I mean, the only one that I can kind of remember feeling like, okay, this is new and different, was like the 2011 spring game where they had a similarly kind of explosive offensive day. So lots to like, I think.
It's Michael Brents with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Some thoughts on the Huskers spring game, because we have to, we'll probably also get to Malachi Coleman's cryptic Twitter post as well a little bit later. But
you still want to go in on it, huh?
We have to talk about it. It's whatever.
Room is padded for you. I mean,
we'll get there in a second. We'll get there in a second. But Michael, as you look back on spring game Saturday, we're going to get into this with Matt Verzel here next segment. Didn't seem to be a showcase for much else besides the quarterbacks in the passing attack. But I want to get your thoughts. Offensive line performance, impressive. Not much to know because of how vanilla some of the defenses were. What's your take on what we saw from the offensive line?
I don't know. Probably it's tough to know. I mean, between who wasn't playing, you didn't have Ben Scott in there. Bryce Benhart wasn't in there, and they were really kind of mixing and matching guys. The fact that, the pass rush is a little bit limited because they're not trying to go screaming into the quarterback. I mean, there were a couple plays that probably should have been blown dead that weren't. The day was kind of set up, I think, for the passing offense. I mean, Matt Rhule said as much, that they wanted to see what they could do through the air, and that's what they did. But, I thought Emmett Johnson ran the ball, well. I think you can kind of see where, he can be really effective on some of those quick hit runs. I thought Dante Dowdell's long touchdown run was pretty impressive. I mean, he basically wasn't touched until he got to about the 4-yard line, showed a little burst, and was moving pretty well at that size. So, I think as kind of much as you could take away, I think was generally pretty positive about the offensive line. I mean, I'm eager to still kind of see how the guard position shakes out. That's kind of the big position battle, I think, that's, going to be still going into the fall. But, I think you kind of know what you're getting from Ben Scott and Bryce Benhart. So, kind of having the sixth-year guys coming back, it just kind of, I think, settles things down quite a bit at those two spots.
Brunsie, we'll get to baseball in 2 seconds, but what does Saturday mean for you as you fast forward to 2024 with Nebraska football?
Well, I mean, I think it's just there's just a little bit of positivity because, the big question mark was, how are the quarterbacks going to fare? And, I didn't feel like Danny Kalen or Dylan Raiola were in any way flummoxed or nervous. I mean, they may have been, but they didn't play that way. And kept Nebraska on schedule. I mean, even, certainly we're, rightfully so, talking a lot about Raiola and what he did. But, I mean, even that 2-minute drive that Danny Kalen led at the end of the first half, I thought was pretty well done and kind of might have gotten overlooked a little bit from the way that things kind of moved on. So, I think I'm leaving that game pretty positive about where things are heading into 2024. I think you can definitely see a framework that, the staff can build around on offense and pair with that really, really good defense.
Michael, quickly here before we flip over, basketball and baseball coming. Malachi Coleman's cryptic post, something for Husker fans to worry about?
I haven't seen it. What am I missing?
So Malachi Coleman took to Twitter about 2 hours ago and posted a simple photo that simply said, "Trust in new beginnings." Nothing else from Malachi Coleman since then.
I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on that. It's not. I don't know. Like, if you're going to leave, you leave. If you don't, you don't. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with things in the portal era.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll see. I guess if anything comes of it. I mean, we'll know sooner than later, right? Because today is the last day you can enter. So, I really don't have have too much to add to that, so I'll let you continue to speculate and be a little nervous, I guess.
Oh, we're not really speculating. I'm in the same camp as you, firmly.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So let's talk about Nebraska's new 7'1" addition here. Braxton, is it May? How the hell do I say it, Brunsie?
Mia.
Thank you. Like Miata. Mia.
Yeah.
7'1".
Not really like Miata.
Well, sorry.
It's a good way to remember.
That's how I'm going to say
it. He's about the size of a Miata, I think.
Thank you for the coverage.
I think he's taller than a Miata, to be honest with you.
So, so Mia. Well, for sure. So yeah. 7'1", 250 from Washington. This is huge. Rim protection. What's his skill set offensively? Is he a post scorer, or is he a guy that can get you 10 and 10? What do you think? Where's his fit?
Yeah, I mean, he's a rim protector, rebounder. And, you know, you look at what he did at Washington, his kind of one healthy year there was his junior season. I basically averaged about even on rebounds and points, was a member of the Pac-12 all-defensive team. That's what you need him for. That's what he's going to provide. He shot a really high percentage from 2-point just because a lot of his points were dunks. That's kind of what you're getting with him. I mean, you're not going to get – this is not like a stretch five situation but with him. So you just look at what Nebraska's added out of the portal to this point, and you know, a glaring need was somebody to protect the rim, somebody to rebound. You know, you lose Josiah Alec, Rink Mass, knees – are certainly a concern, and you know, he hasn't actually publicly stated what his plans are, kind of what the picture looks like there. So you needed to add a little bit more size to go with Andrew Morgan out of North Dakota State, another transfer in, who I think is more of a, I would say more of a in the stretch four type skill set versus Mia, who's more of like a typical, you know, athletic five. And he had some good games. I mean, there was his best game this last year was against UCLA. I think he something like 19 and 10 or 19 and 9, something like that. And, you know, the numbers dipped a little bit this past season. He battled an ankle injury, a hand injury, and was never really quite healthy. So he's got 1 year left. It's going to be in Lincoln. And I think it was a good marriage for both parties because Nebraska needed help and he needed wanted some playing time, and that's where we stand.
And Michael, we'll see what that means for Rink Mast, his future with Nebraska. That remains still in doubt just a little bit. But before we get you out, a little over 60 seconds here to flip over to baseball. Nebraska-Creighton tonight. It looks like the rain has passed. We'll cross our fingers on that one. Are you expecting more Husker disappointment in a midweek game against Creighton tonight?
Well, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge tonight. You know, Nebraska, with the way that the schedule sets up, they've got Creighton tonight in a midweek. They've got K-State tomorrow night in a midweek in Lincoln, and then they play 3 on the weekend at Minnesota. So, you know, when you have the back-to-back midweeks and certainly doing it against 2 very good top 100 teams, the pitching is going to be challenged. I would expect that tonight and tomorrow night you're probably going to see some names that haven't been out there before. That's a little bit or they've been out there, but maybe not in a high pressure, high leverage situation. So that's always a little bit of a cause for concern, but we'll see. I mean, the bats have to kind of hold up their end, and you know, Nebraska's hoping that maybe Ty Horn, the starter for tonight, can give him a little bit of depth in his start, because he's been more of a 1-2 inning guy. If they could get 3 innings out of him, I think they'd be just tickled tonight. So we'll see. They've got to get it turned around. This is a big opportunity for them this week to get a couple of really good midweek wins.
It's Michael Bruns with Husker 24/7, and follow Brunsie on Twitter at Michael Bruns, and be sure to read him all sorts of recruiting: Husker baseball, Husker football, Husker hoops. Brunsie, enjoy the ball game tonight. Thanks for a few minutes.
Anytime. Thanks.
Appreciate it. There he is. It's Michael Bruns. We'll check in with Matt Verzel. Hail Varsity continues, powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it at Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager. Let's talk some Big Red football with Mr. Pizza, Paisan's Pizzeria. Matt Verzel with us at Verz51 on Twitter, your host of Husker Hangover as well. Verz, what's a good word, man? Thanks for a few minutes.
Yeah, you bet, man. Not too much, just kind of catering season, so been busy, got a bunch going on and all that fun stuff, so you know how it goes.
Well, the catering playbook, I'm interested in just a moment of that. How do you map it out with your staff and no one left from right? I mean, it sounds crazy busy.
I do appreciate the thought that there's much more than me, but no, we had I am the playbook. I got to Clydesdale's at 3 o'clock this morning, and we got 165 pizzas out to their destination by 11:30 a.m. So
it's a win, man. Good for you. Good stuff there. Well,
debatable.
Well, I'm not going to debate you. I won't. But I'm interested in Saturday. Did you have a chance to go, or did you have a chance to observe the spring game?
I didn't go down, but I had the chance. I watched quite a bit of it on TV and got the chance to see the new look for 2024/2025 Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Verz, it's not sexy, but the offensive line play is something that, as time has gone on, has stood out to me a little bit more. Obviously, when you're in person, you're watching it, you're watching the quarterbacks. But as I go back, I mean, the offensive line across both teams only allowed one sack throughout the entire game, if you want to call it that. And they also did a pretty good job opening up the rushing lanes. Do you have any thoughts on how the offensive line performed on Saturday?
I would slow down with the one sack quote there. One of the touchdowns that got thrown, if you watch, I believe it's number 90. Number 90 rushes upfield, quarterback steps up in the pocket. 90 comes off his block and taps the quarterback on the hip, I think twice. Two more steps are taken, the ball is thrown, it's a touchdown. And I was like, well, that's a spring game touchdown. That's not a reality touchdown. Hmm. But, yeah, you know, they're getting better. They look the part physically. You know, they're in better shape. Foot speed in a couple instances still needs to pick up and get better. But, you know, year two of Coach Rhule and his thing is going in a good direction. And the great part about it, you know, for me, probably just as a fan and as a coach, that there's a ton of room for improvement with it yet still, so they can get better. So there's a lot still they got to work on over the fall and over the summer.
Matt Verzel's with us, former Husker, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Verz, let's get to the quarterbacks, and you've been around some great ones. I'm anxious to get your read on that quarterback room. Starting off with Dylan Raiola, Harburg looked much improved. And, of course, you know Danny Kalen well and have seen him, you know, grow up on the practice field. Interested to see that spot and how we know how vital it is in college football.
Yeah. You know, the thing with – oh, man. I really – as it went on, I really hoped that – I really hope more people would pay attention to what happened in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
You know, Nebraska's roster at times is four or five deep with a non-line position. Mm-hmm. Michigan is three or four deep with offensive line / defensive line players. And then when you get a generational leader in, you know, like J.J. McCarthy was to them, now the sky is the limit. So don't get me wrong, it's great. You know, I think it's Raiola looked to be the part of probably what you're going to see as a quarterback in Nebraska. And as we can be honest with ourselves, we can say it's quarterback competition, all that stuff, and this, that, the other. He made a couple throws, you know, like flick of the wrist throws that you haven't seen anybody be able to make in Nebraska for quite a while. And the continued focus on improving both lines is the only place I would look for to determine how Nebraska football will progress. You know, those two places will will take you as far as you want to go. But then when you get a guy in there that is just better than everybody else at the quarterback position, now you can exercise a lot of demons that have occurred over the past few years.
It's Matt Verza with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Matt, have you come back down to earth since Saturday, if you will, with some added perspective around Dylan Riley's performance? Where are you at compared to Saturday whenever you evaluate the quarterback position?
Very rarely in my life or any time in my older life do I leave the ground. I'm a very grounded human being. I don't get too overexcited about anything. At the end of the day, and a freshman today is different than a freshman, you know, in the past. They're more mature. They've seen some more things. But one player does not make a team, okay? There's a lot athletically, you know, that he does that, and we just haven't had somebody that can do for a while. He's got a really cool poise slash confidence to himself, which I think we lack also at times. So those type of things, people seem to gravitate toward him, which is awesome. So he checks all the boxes of what you want the QB to be. At the end of the day, he's still a freshman. He's going to make freshman mistakes. We have to gather ourselves in and say, okay, this is some things that we probably aren't ready for are going to happen. There's no need to get pissed off about it. It's just sometimes being young, you're going to make those mistakes.
Verz, with expectations, let's roll them forward, and you're right, a lot of work to do, and that Michigan model is a winner. I mean, when you're deep and talented on the lines of scrimmage, that's how you win in the Big Ten. That's how you win in the SEC. That's how you win in the college football playoff era. And I'm interested putting it all together with young quarterback, presumably, what you've got coming back is as an experienced crew as Nebraska's had in a while. Can they hit their ceiling? And then you also look at the defensive side of the ball with all that return. And have you thought about 2024 yet? Have you dialed it up, dialed it back? Or are you just holding pattern? Let's talk after you tip.
No, I mean, I think you always prepare for it. You know, Las Vegas will set a number, right? And Las Vegas doesn't miss electric bills because those bills get paid. They set numbers because they're good at what they do. So I would say, except a few years in the past in Nebraska, they missed pretty bad. But this one seems to be more spot on because it falls into line with the progression of what Rule and his team do. Mm-hmm. Okay, first year, you know, you win. I think his pattern was 3, then it goes to 7, and then it goes to double digits. So as their culture adheres, the better they get. So realistic expectation for, you know, what probably I think is going to happen is Nebraska is going to be in that 7 to 8 win range. The Nebraska fan and alumni and all that stuff that's inside of me, you just sit there and you're like, okay, well, if they get going early and they start to believe in what they can do, then maybe they surprise everybody and they go higher. But probably what I'm at is a more realistic version of them. I'm going to listen to Las Vegas. Las Vegas says, I think it's 7.5 is the number. So into that 7-8 range is good enough for me for year 2, because the good Lord knows we ain't seen many of them.
Is there a year you were way off with your expectation or the Verz math on win total and they under-delivered, or have you been pretty close to that Vegas line?
My betting account history says I got a pretty good grasp of how many games they're going to win.
That's what I wanted to
hear. They had them 1 year, I think, at like 6.
Yeah.
6 or 7. That was six. Because I had under six, under five, under four, and under three, all bet. So I cashed all those but one.
What era was this? It's been so many coaches in the last two decades.
Well, we ain't won many games over five in a long time. So you can pick one. The best. That's the good thing about bet. That's the good thing about betting. There's another option open every day.
Uh-huh. Well, Matt, as the betting sharp here, if Nebraska falls short of that 7-8 wins as Vegas expects, why could that happen in your eyes?
That you would have something catastrophic in a line. You know, it'd be that offensive or defense. I was a little, you know, if I'm nervous about something in the game, and I understand, you know, preservation and all that kind of stuff. To me, though, and I get it, you know, you got super seniors and COVID seniors or doctor seniors, whatever you want to call them. You got a lot of guys sitting out, and I get that. You're trying to preserve and make sure you don't take, you know, unnecessary. You got guys that got boo-boos, and you don't want them to get worse. But I also kind of like the guy that's like, you know what, I might be a little bit dinged up, but this is my last kick of the can. I'm going to go out here, say thank you to the great people in Nebraska one more time. I'm going to go bust my ass in a spring game, have some fun. It might only be five, six plays, but I'm going to get out there. I'm going to do it. That one still guy that's feared in every room, meaning your linebacker room has one guy that's feared by everybody. The defensive line room has one guy that's you know, and it translates to the defensive line as well. Yeah, one guy that's just feared. I think they still miss that guy. Where when you're at practice, and if you think you're not working hard enough, you got to know where that guy is, because he's going to call you out because he doesn't care what position you play. I think they miss that guy. But anything catastrophic injury-wise in the offensive line that would lead to a less than Vegas season.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Matt Verzel's with us, former Husker, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Verz, I'm going to follow up with who was feared in your era on the offensive side of the ball? Who was feared on the defensive side of the ball?
Take your pick.
Well, I was kind of half expecting you could put a batting order together for me, but give me your top two.
Christian Peter and Christian Peter.
Okay. So CP, no, CP 55.
CP had an expectation of work. If you did not meet that expectation of work, you were going to learn that that was not acceptable behavior. And yeah, you wanted everybody working as hard as the big double nickel was. As long as you were working as hard as the double nickel, everything was good.
Can you expand on how he would teach you that your work was not hard enough, or is that not fit for radio?
I made sure that, and you get good at things, right? You get good at knowing where he is, can he see you, and do you look like you're working hard? nobody gives him enough credit, but the fundraiser extraordinaire Brennan Stye was always another guy too that, you know, put in a ton of work. And guys, he wasn't as disciplinary as CP, but you know, you wanted to make sure that Stye knew you were getting your stuff in.
So no examples today, Elijah. We'll have to get the Paisans for a bloody and get one of those story times from Verge.
I still think he laid out the picture well enough.
I just remember a story from Doak about how Christian, it was a spring game, and the guy, I don't know if his ankle was busted, but he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to keep playing, so he went out and played. And that, from an example standpoint, you want to talk about playing injured, not hurt. That impressed the locker room.
those things mean a lot too. Mm-hmm. Okay, because he's an established guy. He doesn't have to go out there and do that. But he knows if he goes out there and he sucks it up in a game that's, to be honest, it's a pretty pointless game. But that mentality trickles down into everybody that's around you. Like, hey, oh, man, am I? And I mean, it may not work with everybody either, mm-hmm. okay? Because you can sit there and be like, oh, man, my shoulder, you know, kind of hurt. I play safety. My shoulder kind of hurts. I don't know if I want to be out there, da 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 da. And it may not come into your mind right away, but as you're sitting there and you may have taken that day out of practice with your medical issue, and you're going to sit there, you're going to be watching that, and then a guy that came across the field that had an ankle that probably shouldn't have been played on. I'm not sure if it was an ankle, but had an injury that probably shouldn't have been played on, but he played. And so then you start to question, man, maybe I'm letting people down. And when you start to realize that, yes, you are in self-preservation, okay, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you're told you're not going to play, you're not going to play. But there's part of you that says, man, me not letting my teammates down is probably a little bit more important. If I go out there and I go as hard as I can, the odds of me getting hurt are very, very low. A lot of injury happens when you kind of go half-assed out there. But say if I go out there and I go as hard as I can for as long as I can, even if it's 8-10 plays, no big deal. I gave everything I had. Everybody saw me give everything I had after the coach told me, no, you're not going. I said, well, you know, my guys are out here. I'm going to be out here. I'm going to go. Now you're being selfless. You're caring more about the greater good than you are about yourself. And that's what champions do. Like that's what people ask quite a bit. Well, what made you guys different? And it's like, well, everybody, shouldn't say everybody. The vast majority of people would go give of themselves to benefit their teammate. They didn't think about, oh, I got to sit out here. Oh, I got a bad angle. You know, they're to draw a correlation, Mitch Marner, who plays hockey for the Toronto Maple Leafs, is catching hell because when the puck goes into the corner, he won't go in the corner because people say, oh, he's had opportunity to, and he's bailed out on it. He just hasn't done it. Oh, well, his frame, you know, he's this and he's that, and he's 173 pounds. On the exact opposite side of the ice, you've got that guy by the name of Brad Marchand, who is smaller, height-wise, weighs similar weight-wise, and will go in the corner and wait for you. So come on, come get it. You want to take this away from me? I'm here for my guys because they need me here. You may go in there and you may get your ass kicked if you're Mitch Marner. But the last thing you want your teammates to see you do is the puck goes in the corner, you turn and you skate away because that you ain't in it for me, you're in it for you. And that, you know, things like that resonate through there.
Verz, with this conversation in mind, do you have a reaction to guys being held out of the spring game on Saturday? Is that a different conversation because it's coach's decision? What is your reaction to that?
We had guys that were told, yeah, you're probably not going to go today. And they said, no, I think I'm good. I think I'm going to go. And then they were asked, well, are you sure? I was like, I'm 100% sure because the other guys that I'm with rolling out there, they're going, so I'm going to go. We'll see what happens in the end. And all those dudes that did that and kind of sacked up and did those things, I don't think they had a lot of issue in the game.
Verz, this was fun, man. Thanks for making time. Keep kicking butt. And always appreciate you sharing some Husker thoughts with us.
Yeah, before we get gone, I do have to apologize to a parent at the school in the south part of Lincoln toward the east.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Eric Gordon.
Okay.
He is the brother of Alex Gordon.
Uh-huh.
On the Heard At radio network, when I was speaking to Mr. Benning and Mr. Lula, my mouth got going faster than my brain, and I said that he was Alex's uncle. He was not Alex's. I was trying to get to the kid being the nephew, and I got it.
That's
all. Twisted around, but he texted my sister and said, "Can you tell your brother I am Al's brother, not his uncle?" And I was like, "Oh, touche." Well, but no, I got to watch a game with him, and they said a little duck snort to his son playing second base, and he was right into the sun. And as soon as the ball was hit, I saw him kind of just that momentary freeze, and then he kind of got back after. Well, son got in his eyes, and he dropped it, and dad was not that happy. In baseball, dad for me goes, "Yeah." He goes, "That's a great pair of sunglasses you got on your head. It's good those are on your hat." So I was like, "Oh no, dude! Oh no!" But he came back and made a couple nice plays, and they got out of the inning. So it was all for naught. So it was good. But yes, to Eric, and God, I hope that's his name, Gordon. I apologize.
It's all good. So it's funny how they wear them $200 shades on their bill. I hear you.
Oh, dad was all over that one. I was like, "Ah, you're going to go hit little, like, fly balls to your son and just make him stare at the sun, aren't you?" And he goes, "Yeah, probably." Like, okay.
Practicing perfect. Burrs, we love it. Appreciate you much. We'll see you soon, man.
You boys.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, thanks to Matt Verzel. Big thanks to Michael Brunts and Mitch Sherman in hour one, and Malachi Coleman back on Twitter just about 5 minutes ago to clear things up. "I have no intention of entering the portal. I'm only speaking about the future of Nebraska football. If you really want to know what this program means to me, check out my pinned tweet." Then he added Husker football. So there you go.
And essentially, his pinned tweet was just a quote from his commitment about what it means to him to be a Husker, what it means to stay home. So, cleared it up eventually.
There you go. You feel better, Elijah?
I mean, I didn't feel bad ever. It was just like, "What are we doing here?" type thing. I appreciate him clearing it up.
Yeah.
I would say run your Twitter in a way that things don't need to be cleared up in the first place, but that's old man yelling at the clouds.
You're not old enough. How old do you have to be old man yelling at the clouds? I totally qualify.
I don't think there's an age.
Yeah,
I think
it's more
about
an old
action.
Soul.
It's more about the when you start yelling at the clouds, you know? That's the definition. You're old, less age.
Mm.
I think I may have been yelling at the clouds a bit today. But
it's okay. Podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. Download it. Like and subscribe or tell us what you think, good, bad, or ugly. The audio portion, the video portion, Hail Varsity YouTube channel. You can subscribe and like there and find us on the different platforms, Facebook and Twitter. Friends at AM590, Omaha's ESPN. KFOR, Facebook and Twitter. Central Nebraska Superstation, Kearney Hastings, Grand Island, 1460, 1550, and News Talk 900 in Columbus. We'll try and run down Evan Bland and Mike Babcock tomorrow. We'll talk with Coach Barnett later in the week. Love having him on and getting his perspective. No doubt we'll get his reaction to some of the Twitter takes from some of Prime's kids. Maybe Barney won't want to touch that with a 30-foot pole either.
That's also been drama today.
Oh, completely.
What the hell are we? From the guy who...
So you're ready to suspend social media accounts.
I've been ready to suspend social media accounts. I just think it's a little bit ironic.
Do you have bowling tonight?
No, our season ended last week.
See, I think that's why we're a little...
A little frustrated today.
A little on edge.
I think I just need to get to the gym. It's been
I think you need a big old steak and a whiskey.
I need an abs win tonight is what I need.
Yeah, you're sweating it out.
But to lay this out, Shedeur Sanders tweeting earlier today about a guy who had entered the portal and had some things to say about how Coach Prime had run his program, saying, "I don't even remember him, to be honest. Bro had to be very mid at best."
Well, and the kid went on, and I think this was an article maybe in The Athletic.
It was, yeah.
So Deion switched his Twitter handle to the portal handle.
Well, I just think it's very ironic coming from the guy who got up post game after Nebraska and Colorado to say that he didn't respect Matt Rhule for hating on another man. Mm. Oh, now you're gonna hop on Twitter and hate on one of your former teammates?
Yeah, no, it's
keep doing you, Shedeur.
Right. Keep helping out the great folks in Nebraska hit by the tornadoes last week. A reminder that all week long at Herdat Sports Bar and Grill, the La Vista location, they're holding a disaster relief drive from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if you feel like it, please drop by. Hygiene items, clothing, non-perishable foods, that'll all be donated to the Heartland Hope and Project Intentional for distribution. Can also donate money to the Red Cross when you text Red Cross in caps to 90999. Back tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity. Thanks.
A Herdat Media Production.